Take your Bibles this morning and go with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. I want to share with you something that I read in a secular news article this morning, and it's kind of my, I guess I'd say my poor habit to get up and check the 24/7 news cycle in some different news organizations and outlets. And normally I'll do it in the morning hours as I've gotten up and so forth, just kind of start the day off in a depressing way and so forth. But I thought that this was very interesting, and I wanted to just share this with you before we read our passage today. Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. We're going to get there in just a moment. But this was in a secular news article just this morning. Christians across the world are celebrating the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead 2,000 years ago. A claim so outrageously bold that some non-believers wonder how anyone could believe it. Yet billions of Christians have based their lives on it for 20 centuries. But then on Sunday, they became a group of fanatics, declaring the most unbelievable claim that Jesus of Nazareth had physically risen from the dead. Over a dozen of his followers claimed to have spent extended times with him after his resurrection, including placing their hands in his deadly wounds and eating bread and fish with him. Up to 500 of them claimed to have seen him in the following weeks. After those weeks, his closest followers said that he commissioned them to spread his gospel across the world, then rose before their eyes into heaven. His followers were ostracized from society and brutally opposed. Many were imprisoned and publicly executed for publicly and passionately teaching these things. But they kept going, with their central point being that their master had conquered the grave and that they, therefore, had nothing to fear. They rejoiced in their sufferings, and thousands were converted under their teaching. Jesus' personal attendants, called the apostles, spread throughout Europe, Africa, and Asia, carrying this message of the gospel. One of the chief persecutors of this new church, Saul of Tarsus, claimed that Jesus physically appeared to him, struck him temporarily blind, and this Jewish religious teacher changed his name to Paul and became the most prolific writer expounding Jesus' teaching. Paul's works comprise roughly half of the New Testament. This was in a secular article this morning. And I'm like, most of what they said will preach. And it's like it came from a fundamental Bible-believing, Bible-preaching preacher on this day. And so that's the end of my message. Let's close in a word of prayer. I'm just kidding, all right? You've been at FBT for any length of time, you know that's not true, all right? But what a statement. Now, I'd like to tweak a couple of the things that they said. Number one, my friend, understand that it's not just been 2,000 years that people have believed in a resurrected Savior. We go all the way back to Job chapter number 19. In verse number 23, listen to what Job said. And again, Job would have been a founding part of the globe under the creative work of Almighty God. Job said in those early days before the flood, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." You see, all the way back there in the Old Testament, There were believers that gave statements like this about a risen Savior, that he would lay eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ himself one day. The next part that I would just like to add to flows into our text this morning, and they rehearse some of the story of Saul of Tarsus. Saul was the main persecutor of this church, and he went everywhere he could seeking to place men and women and children that claimed the name of Christ. He sought to place them in prison or even put them to death. God changed his name. You see, the name Saul means that of a big one. The name Paul is that of a little one. And he went from being big in his own eyes to being little for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did expound the truths of Jesus' teaching, and he is responsible for writing a major portion of the New Testament. But I want you to note with me this message to the church at Philippi this morning. And I want you to note the words of the Apostle Paul here in Philippians chapter 3, in verses 9 through 14. The Bible says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." This morning's message there from the theme, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Let's pray and ask God's blessings upon our time. Lord, thank you for the privilege that we have to come to the Word of God and see the truth. There are many in the globe and around the world today that speculate as to what transpired. There are many that praise their religions that have been made by man. And yet today we come to a very certain word. We come to this time in the Word of God in which these words have been penned for us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. They've been preserved for us in our language that we might read them here today. And Lord, the Apostle Paul tells us of the impact the risen Savior had on his life. And I pray that we with the Apostle Paul would have that same desire, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection. Direct my thoughts this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Here at FBT, we celebrate the Lord's resurrection every Sunday. According to the Scriptures, the Bible says Christ arose on Sunday morning. And after his resurrection, every time the church met, it was on a Sunday. There's a very clear transition in the New Testament from that of honoring the Sabbath in the Old Testament to that of honoring and putting forth our steps on that first day of the week upon the Lord's resurrection. There's special emphasis, though, one time a year in the time frame around the anniversary of his actual resurrection. And so this morning I speak directly on this matter of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is reflecting on his past. And if you were to walk through the opening verses there, we find that the Apostle Paul details some of his resume. And he says there in verse number 5, he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. The Apostle Paul said, according to the law, I have a wonderful resume. But my friend, the law has not saved one person. Adherence to the law has not saved one person. And there was a day in the Apostle Paul's life where he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he met Christ for who he was, the one that was slain from the foundations of the world, the one that shed his blood that we who were in our sin might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so the Apostle Paul transitions in this chapter from his adherence to the law and the righteousness that he would have in his own works. He transitions it to a much different spirit, and he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. There is no greater power than the resurrection power. In the Word of God, we see many people that are raised from the dead. We see Old Testament prophets that raise people from the dead. We see the Lord raising Lazarus from the dead. The distinct difference in this matter is that it was not someone else raising the Lord Jesus Christ. It was in and of himself. It was in and under his own power. And the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the grave. And the Apostle Paul says in this verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What does that power of resurrection, what does that affect, or how does it affect you today? The power of resurrection. As we consider everyone that's sitting here in the auditorium, no doubt there are individuals that fall in one of two groups. There are those that sit here in the auditorium this morning, and they know much about religion, and they know much about the things of religion, but they've not yet come to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's never been a time in your life where you have personally repented of your sins and accepted Jesus as your Savior. And then there are people in our midst that have trusted Christ, that do know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. You see, every man, woman, and child sitting in the auditorium this morning sits in one of those two places. There is no middle ground. You either know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're on your way to heaven, or you've yet to come to that place of personal salvation. I want to look at this matter of the power of resurrection. When the Apostle Paul speaks of the power of resurrection, how does this apply to you? How does this apply to me? Well, I believe with all of my heart that the power of resurrection has application for everyone this morning. I mentioned two groups, but the power of resurrection has an impact for everyone that is gathered here in the auditorium. Number one, his resurrection gives victory over the punishment for sin. His resurrection gives victory over the punishment for sin. You understand this, and I understand this. No one likes to be punished for our wrongdoing. No one likes to be doing 35 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone and to have those blue lights come up behind them. I just received a text message from one of our friends from out of state. And they were up visiting in the area, and they sent me a text message that was very small, and I couldn't barely make it out. But as I tried to expand it and tell the graininess of it, here they were driving in Washington, D.C., and they were doing 37 in a 25-mile-an-hour zone, and some wonderful people just happened to capture it on camera. And they just thought so much of how well the picture turned out that they couldn't help but share it. And they sent the news down to the person to whom the vehicle belonged. And that person receives it in the mail. And they are so pumped by the nature and energy of that wonderful photo that they said, you have to pay us $100 for taking that photo. None of us likes punishment. I didn't like punishment early on in my life when my mom and dad would say, you violated our law here in the house. Or you did not do right in the academy, and so you disobeyed, and so there's a punishment that comes with it. We all understand the nature of punishment. My friend, if there's not law and the nature of laws that are set up for people to abide within, you don't have society. It's impossible to have structure in society without some kind of law that's been set up. But I tell you what, it's awful difficult when you've been found guilty and you violated a law. Do you know, my friend, that sin must be punished? We go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says that the woman saw the tree and that it was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Listen to these next words. And the eyes of them both were opened. How many times have you been in a position, or I've been in a position, where we have violated some kind of a rule that's been established, and we knew the rule, and we knew we were supposed to stay within the lines and to do what is right, but we disobeyed. And as soon as we disobeyed and we heard the teacher or the parent calling, we knew that we were caught. The Bible says that Eve was deceived, and she gave to her husband, and he did eat. And immediately, their eyes were opened. Sin will be punished. Sin will be punished. We understand this in society, but it's as though the world believes that they'll live out their entire lives and never face a consequence for the choices that they've made. We see this happen all kinds of in all different kinds of ways in society. People make choices. They commit crimes. They commit a criminal act. They're not shocked when they're caught and they've been found to face punishment. Sin must be punished. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that God made coats of skins and clothed Adam and Eve. In the Old Testament, the blood of the lamb was sacrificed, and it was used as a symbolic covering of sin. We looked at that quite extensively last Sunday evening. I'd love for you to follow up in that service, because we had a special communion service as we were reflecting on the Passover lamb and the nature of the sacrifice that was there in that lamb's body as it gave its life, that they might sprinkle the doorposts and the side posts. And for generations, that was the pattern as they looked forward to that day, that a lamb would come and provide ultimate deliverance. Sin must be punished. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Do you see, every time you and I look in a mirror and see this tabernacle or this dwelling place that we have as it's going downhill rapidly on a daily basis, it is a clear indication that I am a sinner. Say, Pastor, I'm doing the best I can through products, and I'm doing the best I can through coverings, and I'm doing the best I can through surgeries to keep this tabernacle functioning and moving forward as long as I possibly can. Yes, but in the end, you'll be a dead good-looking guy, because death comes to all of us. It is a wage. It is a payment over the nature of our sin. Sin must be punished. But the Bible says, number two, as we consider resurrection power giving us victory over the punishment of our sin, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection offer deliverance from the eternal punishment of our sin. John chapter 3 and verse number 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3 and verse number 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. John 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. This morning, would you please understand that I am not telling you today that you can be saved through Baptist dogma. You can write the name Baptist over any kind of a church, over any kind of a household, and my friend, that does not save you. We are not saved because of what's written over the doors of our church. We are saved because of what is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the only way that your name can be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life is found not in religion, but in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus gave himself and he died on that cross. You see, this is the path of his life. He lived a sinless life. The Bible says that he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned one time. He never thought anything wicked. He never did anything wicked. He never went anywhere wicked. He never said anything wicked. There was no guile found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says our sin deserves a punishment, but the Bible says that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and he lived a sinless life and he died to take your place and my place of punishment. I've said this in recent weeks and we've been churning on this in different messages. If Christ were merely hanging on the cross for my sins alone, it would have been a weight that not one of us could understand. But the Bible says Jesus died not for my sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You think of the most dastardly deeds that have been done recently in our society, and I don't believe that there's one of us that would step in and take the place of some of these individuals that have committed wicked crimes, heinous crimes. I don't know that any one of us would step in and say, please, let me stand on trial. Let them go free that I might pay the price. And yet, my friend, Jesus died for every one of these individuals that they might be saved. The Bible says that his death, burial, and resurrection give us hope for all eternity. If I know Jesus as my Savior, I may die once, but I will never perish for all eternity. It is my prayer that the rapture takes place before I pass off the scene. Maybe you're new to Christian terms. Maybe you're new to Christian terminology and the nature of the Scriptures, and so when I speak on this, you're like, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible indicates that Jesus is coming again. And the Bible says, then we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be. I would just assume be one of the we's. I don't want the me to be placed here in the casket. My, he was a nice man. No, I'd rather be in the we's. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, I know those that have died in Christ will have a head start because they're raised first. But I'd just soon it be in my lifetime. I'm looking forward to that return of Christ where the Bible says in John chapter 14 that he calls us to himself. My friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, today's the day. The Bible says that you can be delivered from your sin. How is that accomplished? The Bible says that I repent of my sins. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What is repentance? Repentance is going that of your own way and seeking to pay the price for your own sins in your own way and accomplishing it through your own religious works and your own activity and your own path. It's all about you. Repentance is saying no to that and turning to Christ Jesus. Pastor, I've been a good person all my life. I've been a good citizen. I've been a good moral addition to this community. I've done everything that I can to help my family, my fellow man. You know, all of those things are great, and they make you a wonderful citizen of the United States of America, but they do not make you a citizen of heaven. The only way to be found in heaven one day is to have met Jesus Christ here on this side. I repent of my sin, and I receive Jesus into my heart. The Bible says, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hear me this morning. Salvation is not found in adherence to man-made religion. It is not found in the baptismal waters here. This is just regular water. It comes right out of the faucet. There's nothing holy about it. It might be warmed and it might be clean, but it does not save one person from their sins. Joining a church like this has never saved anyone. Bringing your Bible and sitting here in services has never saved one person. John 14 in verse number 6, the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not saved by being a Baptist. You're not saved by being religious. You're not saved apart from the cross of Calvary. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of resurrection, it gives us hope. It gives us victory over the power or the presence, or I'm sorry, the punishment of sin. But number two, would you notice this with me? His resurrection gives us victory over the power of our sin. It gives us power, it gives us victory over the power of our sin. His power has the ability to address sin in our lives. You know, before salvation, it's not a shock that I act like a sinner. John 8:44, the Bible says that I'm of my father, the devil, and that I'm going to follow in his pattern. I'm going to live after his ways. I'm going to go after the direction that he has for me. But in salvation, I obtain a new nature. And now it's not just my fleshly nature going after the wickedness of Satan. The Bible says I now become the temple of the living God. Resurrection power gives victory over the punishment of my sin. I will not face hell for all eternity. But on this side, while I'm still alive, do you know I have victory over the power of my sin? Now, I don't know what may have you enslaved today, but I know that as I travel across an audience of this size, that I could no doubt find one or more people that are enslaved by something. There is an habit, there is a sinful desire, there is an aggressiveness of the flesh, there is something going on in your life, and right now it holds unbelievable power over the decisions that you make. Someone in our audience right now might say, you know, Pastor, I don't want to drink, but boy, after I got my first taste of intoxicating beverages, I just can't get enough. It may be in a crowd this size that there's someone that would say, Pastor, I don't want to take the drug. But after I had my first taste, it just holds tremendous sway. Pastor, I don't want to look at what's on the internet. Pastor, I don't want to be involved in such filthy language. Pastor, I genuinely want to stop this wicked habit in my life. And you'd fill in the blank with wherever you or whatever you may be struggling with. I'm saying this morning, the first step is Bible salvation. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? But the second matter is being delivered through resurrection power from the very power that that sin would hold in your life. Say, well, I just don't know that that's possible. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, there is a long list of details concerning the church at Corinth. And the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says, look, this is how you were. And there's a long list there. And the Bible says, and such were some of you. So here's the point. Believers got the victory over some unbelievable things in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Would you take your Bibles for a moment and turn with me to Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul goes through this And if the Apostle Paul faced this, then I know that I'm going to face it. It's number one, resurrection power gives deliverance or victory over the punishment of our sin. But number two, the resurrection gives victory over the power of our sin. Christ has the power to address the sin in our lives if we will follow him. Romans chapter 7, listen to this wrestling match going on in the Apostle Paul's life. Now listen, my friend, if this went on in Paul's life, how much more would it be found in my life? Romans chapter 7, verse number 15, listen to these words. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Is that not where we are? Pastor, I know that I should not listen to the world's music. I know the world has a number of different genres and a number of ways to tempt me and a number of ways to lead me down the wrong path. I know that I should not listen to that kind of music. I've gone in and I tell you, I changed all the presets in the car. I've done everything I can. But then I get in this particular store and would you know it, the music playing over the speakers is exactly what I deal with. Well, my friend, resurrection power gives hope over these kinds of things. The Apostle Paul declared right there, but what I hate, that do I. Look at verse number 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Look down at what the Bible says in verse number 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Look at verse number 24. Is this not where we'd all find ourselves? O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And what's the Apostle Paul's answer? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, my friend, you can have victory. Now, I know the nature of our society today. We want to dumb everything down. We want to find some way to call every sin a disease. And we want to say, well, I was just born with this. Well, if there's any part of that that's accurate, it's this. Yes, you were born a sinner. But not one of us has to continue in that sin when we've come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, because in His resurrection power, there is power to put our flesh to death and to be victorious in our daily walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of His resurrection. I want to see power in my life as it relates to these things that once held me in bondage. I don't want any of these things to hold me down and to tie me down. The old-time preacher had an illustration that he shared. And he said, I don't know how many of men that I've seen that are so brawny and strong, so physically dynamic and so physically gifted, and yet they're laid out helpless by a little stick about 3 inches long. You see, what's easy for me in the pulpit is to have you think that all of your sins are big and my sins are easy, or reverse that. All of your sins are little and my sins are big. And it's very easy to just start pulling these things off the tree and to say, well, listen, you need to clean these things up and you need to clean these things up, when in fact all of us deal with something. And if the Apostle Paul, in his walk with the Lord, if the Apostle Paul who declared, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, if the Apostle Paul could say, there's a wrestling match in my life to do that which is right, then I would have to say, there's a wrestling match in mine. But the power of resurrection can help. it will give victory to the believer to put that junk to death. The power of resurrection, it gives power over the punishment of our sin. Number two, the power of resurrection, or the resurrection, the power of resurrection gives victory over the power of my sin. And then number three, would you notice with me, and this is cause for rejoicing this morning, his resurrection will give victory over the presence of our sin. His resurrection will give victory over the presence of our sin. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi and he says, that I may know him. This is what's important to me, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. In his resurrection, I have been delivered from the punishment of my sin. In his resurrection and in that resurrection power, I can be victorious over my sin in this current life. But I praise God that one day, through the power of his resurrection, I will be delivered from the presence of my sin. We understand this morning that everything that goes on in the world has been tainted by the sin of Adam and Eve. The Bible says that all of creation groaneth as a result of their sin. But there's coming a day where we will be delivered. Delivered by death or by rapture. I mentioned this in some ways already, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible talks about deliverance in death. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. My friend, if I were to drop dead today, that last breath here would be followed by my first breath in heaven. There's no waiting period. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. You see, I would be in heaven because of what Jesus did for me. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. But if I do not go in death, as I've already mentioned, I'd go in rapture. And the Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse number 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's not only deliverance by death or rapture, but think with me for just a moment as I close the message today. Revelation chapter 21, the Bible says the ultimate deliverance is found when the Bible tells us that all of death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And the very next chapter details for us that God made or will make a new heaven and a new earth. Can you imagine if there were no evil thoughts in the world today? Can you imagine if there were no murders? If there was no adultery? If there was no fornication? Can you imagine if there was no drug addiction? Can you imagine if there was not one thing offensive on TV? There was nothing offensive in the nature of media and media outlets. Can you imagine what it would be like to live in a world like that? Well, let me go much further than that and to say that our God, based upon his resurrection power and the fact that he has conquered death, hell, and the grave, our God, the Almighty God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our God, Jehovah, our God, will wipe away all tears. Our God will make a whole new creation. And it will be untainted by the nature of sin. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you see, for everyone that's gathered in this auditorium, there is truth to be reckoned with. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then today's the day. You can be delivered from the punishment of your sin. please, don't take my word for it. Take the word of an unchanging, eternal God. He will receive all that come. But believer, I wonder today if you struggle in this wrestling match with the flesh. The truth of the matter is that resurrection power has application in your life, that Christ conquered death. And the component that brought about death, our sinfulness, Christ conquered that, and you can be victorious. Pastor, I'll never be victorious over this sin. My friend, that is contrary to Scripture. And where Scripture gives hope, your statement is absent of hope. The fact is, you can be victorious. What is it? No doubt there's someone found in the Scripture that dealt with that very same thing, and they got the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Resurrection power gives victory over that sin. But my friend, we also look forward to that day that we are delivered from this life and received home in heaven for all eternity. The power of resurrection will deliver us one day from the very presence of sin. And to that I pray that all of us as believers say, amen. Let's close in prayer.